This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Ralph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. Project, welcome back to this episode of In The Black. The date today, I just want you guys to know, we are in the week of April 20th. So, still keeping super relevant with everything that's going on. We wanted to give you guys, a bit of positive outlook to the future. I was having a conversation the other day with another gym owner, and they're a newer gym owner, and we're having a conversation. And it became pretty apparent that, when you're starting out, you really don't have an idea of like, okay, how much money can I make? What is in it for me financially with gyms? What is in it for it operationally in terms of my future? And the longer you do it, I think the more clear you get just from networking with people in the industry and having different coaches and mentors and just doing it yourself, just where your financial future lies and what's going to be involved in that process. And so today I thought would be really good, following up an episode we did, which was how much money does it take to start a gym? We want to tell people, okay, at different levels, how much money can you expect to make? How much goes into your pocket? What are some realistic profit margins, what's realistic expenses, all this sort of stuff. And I think that, if I had a podcast like this, fuck, when we had the gyms, it'd be so valuable. So valuable because, the position that we're about to speak from and what we've experienced over the last, 6, 7 years, even 8 years of being around gym owners and owning gyms, I think just so valuable for you guys, so valuable for people listening about, okay, how much do gym owners really make? I think there's like a lot of mystery around that. And there's obviously a lot of hearsay, she say, a lot of just people wanting to, pump themselves up, pump up their egos, lie about stuff. I can't tell you how many people have told me numbers about their gyms, which I just know are like, at minimum, they doubled them or they halved them. And so we just wanted to give you guys some realistic numbers on, where gyms are really at, what you can expect and, kind of the pros and cons of each level and where you can get to. Because, let me just be the first one to say that if you're in fitness industry, you're making a lot less money than the financial industry. That is for sure.
Yeah, I think this is going to be good. And we're just going to give you the truth because I think one of the best things that I think we probably should have done before opening our gym, and if you're thinking about opening a gym, one of the best things you can do is just go speak to a few people who have run gyms for a while. And if you can get like the honest truth from them, if you could open up all their financial books, find out what their day looks like. Most people don't do that before they go invest in the gym.
Yeah.
We're basically going to give you a version of that right now.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think it will also help anyone listening to this to get a good idea about the long-term kind of prospects for their future. Mm. And if it's, worth staying in it and grinding and, running this business for what you can expect, because there's nothing worse than misaligned expectations.
Yes.
In the same way that you promise a client they're going to lose 10 kilos in 10 days and they lose 5 and they're upset, misaligned expectations, it's everything. So if we set the expectations right today with this podcast, then hopefully it will help anyone that's starting a gym or has a gym in the future with where they can kind of land and where they're at. So we've broken it up into 4 stages. And so the stages that we've got are based on revenue. So how much revenue the gym creates per month. So we'll go over each stage, each bracket, and kind of the pros and cons that you have to work with at each stage. So first stage, Raf.
Yeah, so the first stage, this is, basically where everyone starts. And unfortunately, I think where so many gyms stick with forever and probably don't realize what it's like at that stage. So really, this is where you're making, your gym brings in $0 to $20,000 a month. So it's like $240,000 a year. And this is, for most people, like a small family gym, usually at this point. Maybe it's like husband and wife are running it. It's, smaller gym, zero to, 100 members, maybe 150 members, they're not paying that much. That's the sort of range usually for it. And in that, that can be really fun time. There are definitely pros and cons to every single one of these levels. At this level, you're probably going to make like $70,000 a year. You're really going to get paid how anyone would pay a gym manager or someone to run a gym.
Yep.
You're definitely going to work hard. You're definitely going to do a lot of coaching. You're really going to run the whole show. You're going to have, maybe a little bit of support for some trainers that are going to cover some classes and like everything like that. You're not really going to have any full-time staff.
No.
It's going to be you. And if it's you and if you're with a business partner, then basically you two are running the whole thing at this point. So you can pay both of yours. There are pros though. Definitely some of the pros that it's a much more simple existence. If you love fitness in the first place, fantastic. Because most of your time is programming, coaching, doing one-on-ones, coaching classes, all those types of things. So if you're already good at that skill set, you already enjoy it, you're well suited to it. The risks generally haven't got too big at that point because you probably haven't got that expensive a lease. You haven't like committed to long-term staff and taken out a huge loan. Hopefully, you haven't taken a huge loan to have this sort of gym. So, it is quite simple. We've definitely been, we spent quite a bit of time in this stage when we first started when we were young. So, Lockie can definitely expand on the cons. But some of the biggest cons is like you're just trading your time for money the same. And one of the biggest ones I think you realize is, you make the same as if you just went and got a job as a gym manager at some other maybe level two gym. But you've taken on, a commercial lease that you've probably personally guaranteed as well. So you've taken on all this extra risk and probably a bunch of jobs you didn't really like doing the finance and stuff like that, to just get paid the same as what you normally would have got paid as a trainer.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the person that is most suited to this that we've seen over time is generally someone that has done or had a career in different industries, and industries that are quite different to fitness. So industries like IT, finance, accounting, or just anything that's not really related to any health and fitness in any way. And they're really passionate about health and fitness. So, becoming a coach was a big deal for them. They have a real passion for just helping people and, more so than the business side of things. So, if you said, hey, for the next 15 to 20 years, all you're going to do is like coach people and work with the customers face to face and, have a small business, make enough to feed your family and pay the bills and that sort of stuff. That is the perfect person because that's all they want to do. They don't want to have to, get really good at social media and understand marketing psychology and, have complex sales systems and run a big team. Like they've been a part of that machine and they're kind of over it. And what they want is exactly, they just want it simple. They just want it easy. They want enough to pay the bills, be comfortable, put some money aside, and just, have some casual support from some people. Maybe one day, if they get sick of it, sell it for a little bit of money to a member. That's usually how it goes down. But yeah, they're not super ambitious, and it's exactly what they want. And it's just like being a coach and where you get to kind of be the boss and decide your own rules.
Yeah, and I would say that I don't see this really sustainable in the long run. I think most people that have these just have them for a period of time and then they stop having them.
Yeah.
Just because you literally can like almost not go on holidays with this.
Yeah.
You can't get sick for a period of time. And so for most people, they just do it as long as they enjoy it and then their life changes. Maybe they want to move where they live, different things like that, and it's done. It's immediately done. Or like you said, they sell it to a member. So
I think also as well, one of the negatives is that there is because you're so in, you have so many relationships with the clients, is that you get caught up so much in like the gossip and the whinging and like the cliques of the gym and the kind of culture and the friendships, and that can be very exhausting. That's like kind of being, I don't know, like a part of a big club. And there's 100 people in the club and you're like the club leader and you're like the club president, sorry. And everyone's, okay guys, we're deciding to do this today. And everyone's like, boo, we don't want to do that. We voted for this. Like we want gluten-free snacks at the bar, And you're like, fuck guys, come on, we talked about this, and you got to deal with all those, you have 100 relationships, right? Yeah. And deal with all those personalities. And then there's a revolt and these people don't want to do the program. They want to change this. So you're in kind of that whole mess the whole time, which can be tough. And that's really, I think, what really starts to eat at people and get draining.
Yeah. And then, so what we strongly encourage if you're at that level is you want to have your eyes set on moving up to level two as fast as you can. And that's where it's the $20,000 to $50,000 a year revenue. So you're up to like $600,000 a month. And probably straight away, a big misconception with that level is I think a lot of people at level one think that when they get into that level, they'll be making crazy money for themselves.
When they get to level two.
Yeah, when they get to level two. And what you generally find is if you make 50 grand a month, you definitely do not put 40 in your own pocket each month. Very likely, you'll be earning similar. You'll probably be earning like 70 to 120,000 a month.
Yeah.
So it's really still like just like a good salary.
Sorry, a year.
Sorry, a year.
Yeah.
Just a good salary for somebody in fitness.
Yeah.
But there definitely are pros. When you move up to this level, one of the best things is that you can just start hiring some more staff.
Yeah.
You don't have to coach. You could, if you were a single business owner, you could take yourself completely off the class schedule or the one-on-one schedule or the semi-private schedule. If you're with a business partner, you're probably still doing some coaching still, if that's what you want to do. But really at this point, the best part of it is that you can just more define and choose your role in the business. You're still working in the business, but what you can do is, I want to do more of the sales and I want to do this and I want to do the marketing. And you can like choose those roles and you can pay other people to do some of the roles you don't want to do at that time.
Yeah, absolutely. The negatives, I guess, to this level is just generally taking on more responsibility. Mm. So now, as more money comes in, it's taking up just a different amount of your time in many ways. You're rather than being responsible for all the clients necessarily, now you've got more staff responsibilities. So now you're putting food on the table for people, right? So there are just more consequences involved, which require, depending on how you look at it, you know, a level up in leadership. You know, you need to, from yourself, this was something that I struggled with. You know, starting the gym so young, is there's always this feeling of like, okay, is this person going to listen to me? You know, this person's 10 years older than me. They've been around way longer. They've earned way more money than me. And I'm supposed to tell this person what to do. So for me, there was a little bit of self-sabotage there in terms of I would struggle to be able to lead these people effectively. And what that meant was just, you know, having really truthful, really transparent conversations and not avoiding hard conversations with people and, you know, having to not be their friend. You know, it's tough because, you know, you want to obviously all your staff to like you. But it's just a dynamic that I think you're always learning, you're always figuring out. But when you first start it, you know, it's hard to not, you know, because the way you've led people previously, your customers, is you've been their friend. You've been quite close to them. Yeah, you have moments where you're coaching them and that sort of stuff, but there's not like dire consequences on the line. When you have someone's job, their livelihood, you know, you have putting food on the table for their family, it's a interesting dynamic that you kind of have to figure out at first with how to be a leader for them.
Yeah. And you know, what I'll add on to that is that, you know, we really encourage you, if you're at this sort of level, it's awesome, but you still should be really eyeing moving up again to the next level, because, you know, part of the downside of this is, you know, it's good and you've got to level up, you know, you can't just do whatever you want now because you've got staff that look up to you. But you still, you know, there are a lot of PTs that have no risks, they've got no debt for the equipment, they've got no big lease hanging over their head, they've got no payroll every single month, and they still make plenty more money than you. You know, a good PT in a gym, they make $200 rent to the Globo gym, and they easily make more than a trainer that has a $40,000 a month gym.
Yeah.
You know, because they take it all themselves. They've got some downsides, you know, they're doing all the training, but you haven't really elevated to this level where you're making such better money than somebody else in fitness.
Yeah. You're still in the growth phase.
100%. Yeah. So then when you get to the third level for a gym, and this is like $50,000 to $100,000 a month, for most gyms that, we're not talking big box gyms, we're talking like independent, you know, 0 to 300 member gyms, usually around the $50,000 to $100,000 is sort of the max per month they can make. So that's over $1 million a year. And this is a really, I would say, big change to running a gym before. At this level, one of the best things is that you have now generally disconnected your trading time for money. So it's not like how many PTs did I do this week, how much did I coach. That stuff has generally become irrelevant at this stage. It's all around how well am I running the business.
Yeah.
And you can pull levers in a business doing $50,000 to $100,000 a month in a small gym that can make you much more money, completely disconnected to your time.
Yeah.
You know, like just, you might do some, you know, challenge at your gym and you make $10,000 and you barely put any work into it.
Yeah.
That is something that never happens when you're trading your time for money in fitness, which is cool. You can definitely still choose the role. And one of the best parts about here is that you can generally hire someone that isn't training staff. So isn't like a direct trainer or doing something to do with fitness. It might just be someone doing all your admin and like your operations.
Yeah.
Which I think, you know, having done, being a gym owner and speaking to a lot of gym owners, that's probably one of the best things you can get at some point. It's like, man, I've done that for so long and now it's like taken care of.
Yeah.
Epic. So yeah, this is a stage generally you're pretty excited about.
Yeah, I'd say the thing about this stage, you know, because we've spent a bit of time here for a while, is you are really kind of questioning, okay, what is next? Because if you spend a bit of time at this stage and you've, you know, really started to kind of experiment with different roles and hiring different people, now you're really facing the question of like, okay, I'm kind of getting close to the max of my model and I'm kind of pulling in some good money, you know. Your profit margins, you know, they actually kind of go down a little bit because you are spending more money. So before, you know, you didn't have, you know, a marketing budget. You know, you didn't have, okay, am I going to spend, you know, $20,000 this quarter on this advertising campaign? You didn't have to make those decisions for. You didn't have that money. So you didn't have that risk. And that risk could mean, oh, wow, we lost $10,000. You know, you and I have spent we've wasted tons of money on like, you know, tens of thousands of dollars on business coaching that didn't work. That was just, you know, people conning us out of our money. It was just ridiculous. It's been over $100,000 probably at this point in terms of losses. And you don't realize, you know, those, you don't get to be put in the driver's seat to make those decisions until you do. And so it's just kind of something you inherit and you have to get used to. You have to be okay with spending money and losing it. Whereas in the past, you're just kind of earning all your money, just kind of putting it away in savings. And it's not like, okay, I've built up all this money, all this hard work, and now I'm going to go risk it. You don't have to take those risks. So it's just becoming more comfortable with that level of risk is important. And Yes, you're earning more money, but you're just spending just as much money as well, because to get to that next stage, it costs more money. So I think there's this perception that when I'm at this level, I'm earning really good money, everything's sweet. Everything can be sweet if you choose not to grow and spend that money, but you will get stuck there and you will not grow anymore.
Yeah, I would say where, you know, people want to know how much do I actually earn. I would say if you're running a gym like that by yourself, so you're running you're the owner of the gym and it does like 50 to 100 grand a month, you could take home 100 to 250 grand a year, which for someone in fitness at the top end of that is awesome, right? It's, you know, at that point, there's like no job I don't think you can really go get in fitness, training people or something like managing a gym that's going to pay you the top end of those numbers.
Yeah.
Be aware though, if there's like three of you running the gym, a $70,000-$80,000 a month gym is still not very much.
Yeah.
You're still going to be coaching a bunch. You know, if there's multiples, you really do have to think pretty big. If there's like three or four of you running the gym, but you know, you are at the point where like, yeah, you're definitely a business owner at this point. You've got yourself a job carved out here that you could not ever go get if someone was hiring you, which is pretty cool. But like Lockie said, I do think at this point, you're probably going to start twiddling your thumbs at some point because you just have kind of maxed it out. There's not much more to do. There's not really anything huge on the horizon within the four walls of this gym. You know, there's probably no lever. You can't just start charging people $1,000 a week for their gym membership.
Yeah.
You've really reached the limits. And also, it's such a big operation at that point, it's actually quite hard to change.
Yeah.
There'd be a lot of barriers between like really changing what's in your gym.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's that interesting middle ground now where you get out of that kind of scarcity place where you're like, oh, I've got to save all my money and protect what I've got, to this comfortable stage where it's like, okay, all my needs are taken care of. I'm pretty happy with money, but this is kind of as big as it can get right now. So I can't keep doing more of the same. I can't bring more members in necessarily to make more money. I can make a little bit more, but it's only going to fluctuate 5 to 10%. It's not going to make a huge difference to my life. So now you've kind of made the money you want to make in terms of giving the lifestyle that you want. But now you're kind of asking yourself more of a deeper question is like, okay, am I going to go from what I would say is like the top end lifestyle business in fitness to big business? Mm. And big business, the real definition here, which is moving into stage four, which is like you have very specific teams growing your business. So you'll have like a sales team, you'll have a marketing team, you'll have an operations team, you'll have, you know, an accounting team. And this is really kind of the stage where Raf and I are at now. It's kind of the unknown frontier where we got to this stage where it's like, yes, we're still growing what we have. We're still working on that. But now there's a choice as to go, okay, if we really want to kind of step out of this and kind of level up, everything is going to change dramatically from here. And for gym owners, it can be more locations, so franchising, or it can be going online, which is kind of just like digital revenue, right? Digital growth. So that's kind of really the choice that you're faced with here. Or it would be completely revamping the model, which I wouldn't recommend, and just going like something completely different at the single location to make it more profitable. But that would probably require some loss in revenue to grow back up again, which is kind of the third. I wouldn't say that's probably the worst option, to be honest, kind of just sabotaging what you've already got. You might not work out, and then you just sabotage your base. But yeah, it could be getting ready to pivot into something else. I guess fourth option would be to sell it, like try and build it up and sell it for a lot of money and then move into the next thing. But say you want to stay in fitness, say you want to keep the brand that you're doing. Now, you're faced with the challenges everyone's kind of having to deal with online right now. But yeah, you want to look at, okay, if I want to make, you know, if I want to get to a $2, $3, $4, $5 million company, $10 million company, right, and just keep going, things are going to be dramatically different. And that needs to look like, 50 plus locations, which is huge. And you want to look at massive digital revenue. That's like a whole marketing team, right? That's finding a content creator, a videographer, filmographer, an ads person, you know, Google ads person. You know, you've got now multiple people working for you full time, you know, on different salaries or lots of different contractors involved. And these are the kind of different teams that we're putting together now. That's a totally different challenge. It's, you know, we rely so heavily now on experts within our business to build that area of the business. So if you take the most common example for people is when you guys think of the coaching and class experience, who do you look to improve that experience? Most likely it's you. How can I make this class better? as like the most easy example, Raf and I don't, that's not what we focus on. What we focus on instead is that person that is now responsible for that task. How well are we keeping them accountable to making the class experience better? And then how are we giving them a system to work within so that they can get feedback from the customers, from the rest of the team to see if they're doing their job well, which is just like kind of still achieving the same goal, but now you can just see that we're one step removed from that. And so that's kind of the thing that we've had to get used to now is like, okay, there are these teams within the business and Raf and I are creating systems and accountability for those teams to work. And that means finding the right person for the team to kind of lead that particular area. So say the operations team, for example, which would be like, you know, working on all the admin stuff. That would be like the coaching, that would be the client interaction, all that sort of operational stuff, all the cleaning that goes on with physical location. Right now, I guess it's like how well a Zoom class runs, you know, what equipment do we need to make it better? And so it's like, okay, so how can we make that team the best team possible? I guess it would be like the difference between the captain of the soccer team that's on the field versus the manager, who's the manager is directing the captain to deliver the best result on the field and win the game. So that's kind of where we're at. We're at the manager level, and we were at the captain level. But right now, we're finding the best captain to lead that team, and we're creating the best team around that captain. So that's probably the big distinction, and that just kind of gets multiplied out as the whole machine grows. So I don't see our role, like the leap that the leap that we are taking now to get to that place has been a huge change. But the change beyond that, it's unknown for us at this point, but from what we've observed from the people that we know that have huge multi-million dollar companies, is this kind of more of the same of this. It's like, okay, continuing to grow and hire those teams. So for us, what's really important is keeping those people accountable, finding the right person for that team. So hiring, getting really good at the hiring process, understanding people really well, and then just lots and lots of like data crunching. Like we just crunch numbers all the time. Survey results, just obviously the bottom line, how numbers are pouring in, what results we're getting here. Should we, you know, get more email subscribers? Should we get more Facebook ads? Like all these sort of decisions. So it's very interesting. It's very different. And I think you really have to like this kind of stuff and just kind of be good at all these different little things to kind of enjoy this next kind of fourth stage.
Yeah, I think the road of a gym owner does sort of end at the level three stage.
Yeah.
And then if you want to go, I mean, there's no real need to go beyond the level three stage. Like you can just run that really good gym. You can make the money for yourself. You can hire out the stuff you don't want to do, invest the money that you're taking for yourself and in other stuff and you know, become more wealthy that way. So there's no real need. I mean, even at that third stage, you can save your money and eventually buy the commercial property likely that your gym is in and really set yourself up well for the future. If you did want to have like a big impact on the world and move out of the stage three, that's probably when you really kind of stop becoming a gym owner and you just move into more of a general business owner.
Yeah.
And your business is probably doing something that's a bit different to running an individual gym, like online and stuff Lockie was talking about.
Yeah, which is why I think when you get those gatherings of business owners that, you know, make the 2 million, 3 million plus a year, you know, up to 20 million, they're all doing pretty much the same thing. They all relate to each other well, but they all have completely different businesses. They could be from construction, from you know, food and hospitality. They could be from finance, running a law firm. They could be, you know, gym owners or whatever. But at that level, at like the 2 million, 3 million plus level, this is where everything that they're doing is very similar. It's like, okay, how do you hire? Because all I'm doing every day is hiring. Okay, what is the best way to, you know, what are the best kind of marketing things coming up right now? Like, what kind of marketing guys do I need to hire? Like, how important is digital advertising? So it's all a lot of the same sort of stuff, because then you're so zoomed out, you all kind of working at the same major principles. And obviously there's nuances to each industry and how the markets work. But yeah, there is a far more similarities at that level.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a decision you'll have to make. But I think that hopefully we can take away from this, and what I wish I had heard this when I first started, is that I think for most of you, you've probably got to think a bit bigger with your kind of revenue targets to have the type of job in life you want. If you're stuck in the 0 to 20 or the 20 to 50 stage, you might need, particularly if you have business partners, you might need to think bigger and realize that when you get to this level, the income you're going to make is not quite what you thought it was going to make. So you want to start thinking to the future. I think particularly while you're in a pandemic and you've got a bit of time to reflect and you're not running around at the gym, it's a time where you can set some goals and ask some hard questions. Hey, am I set up to go to the level I want to get to, and when am I going to get
there? Totally. Yeah, totally. I couldn't agree more. I think that a lot of gym owners are having a really good time reflecting on, because you're just out of the chaos of the day today. You know, a day and a half, you know, if you coach all the way through to Saturday, is not enough time to recoup and think long term. Like, you're just recovering, you're catching up with friends, you're going out for a drink, you're probably hungover on Sunday, and then you're back at it, you're back grinding on Monday morning, you know. So it's really good now to be able to pause and zoom out and think, okay, is this what I really want? Or what are my real goals, you know? So I think a lot of people, maybe now they're thinking, do I even want to return back to yes. doing this? Was this even enjoyable? Like, was I miserable and just was too stuck in it? And maybe it's time to bail out. And then all these things are good questions to ask yourself. And you want to give yourself an honest answer. You don't want to go back into running your gym if you have decided now that you're out of it. I really hate this thing.
Honestly, if you don't see yourself going up the levels, now is such a good time to get out.
Yeah.
Because you can probably get out of your lease because of all this stuff. You know, it's one of the best times ever to get out of a lease. You'll be able to get the best terms possible.
So you got good government support right now?
Yeah. Now could be the time to quit or just to pivot to the next stage, you know? There's also no reason why you can't really go to that fourth stage without ever getting to the third stage of your gym. You know, you can just pivot to the online stuff at any point.
Yeah.
It's just that, you know, you're forced to if you want to keep going after level three.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I would just encourage you guys listening to this, like, don't just sit there now because most people set the goal. They're like, yeah, I want to make like $1,000 a week. That would be sweet. You know, that's just the worst way to do it. And that is exactly how we did it until we got there and realized we have no direction. We don't know what we're doing. This is not good money. It's just chaos around us. So that is just the worst way to go about it. So having this kind of structure, this approach, getting clear on, okay, of the stages that we just read off, which stage appeals most to me? Is it stage 4, stage 3, stage 2, stage 1, whatever? And then just having a bit of a plan to kind of move up the stages of where you are now. And just having an idea now of what's required and what, you know, kind of money you can pay yourself. And you might be way off. You might be at stage 3, but paying yourself 45 grand a year, you've messed up somewhere along the way. You need to undo some of the maths and in the model and fix these things. But yeah, I would say that a lot of hard thinking, a lot of long-term thinking to be done right now. Now is the perfect time to be thinking about this stuff long-term. So if you guys want support with that stuff, you know, we've got MPE that always help out. They've helped us a lot with this stuff. It's a lot of the stuff from their system. You can always check them out at themymuscleproject.com/MPE. And then, of course, you know, we use Waterfy. Waterfy are supporting.
They've been with us in stage 1.
they have been with us in stage 1. Yeah, so they've supported us all the way through and they're doing amazing stuff at the moment. If you guys are interested in what they do, it's waterfire.com/MMP. If you want to, now's a great time to move over. If you are not happy with your your customer-facing operating system, like, you need to move over to their stuff because their stuff is way better. They've got all different apps. It all works. You know, the program's a lot faster now. You can buy programming from Kalipa or whoever and just upload it in there. You can just take programming off your plate. There's so much good stuff that they're doing. So now's the time to make some changes and make some transitions. So anyway, guys, thanks for tuning in this week. Hopefully there was some insightful stuff for you guys. If you've always got questions about the stuff, just message us on Instagram. We can always help you out. Subscribe to my daily email as well. I talk about some business stuff in there. You can always email me there. But for now, thanks for tuning in and we'll speak to you guys next week. Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the My Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the My Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themymuscleproject.com/theaftershow. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.